Hallelujah. 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 Let thy will be done in the order of the service. That the words preached today may be an inspiration for knowledge of revelation unto thy people. We may hold fast to that which is good, pure and righteous. We began to discard things out of our lives. We discard them, Father, for they do not produce fruit, any righteousness, neither is there labor of love for your purity and righteousness. For the power that you have invested in us, by the anointing of your Spirit, we come against every foul thing, every evil conscience and thought, every insidious working of darkness and hell. We bind by the authority, the power that Messiah granted unto us. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. By that command and that authority, we bind everything that is foul, everything that is unclean, everything that will come against the pure knowledge of Yahweh, that your truth may go forth in the dynamics that you command it to go forth. It may pierce the hearts, cut, expose, and open up every corridor of a man's thoughts, his desires, his corruption, that he may see by the power of your judgment those things that must be rectified and corrected. We thank you for that in Messiah's wonderful and precious name. We will bless you forevermore. And that glorious name, Yahshua HaMashiach, Lamb of Yahweh. For that we bless you and we thank you in Messiah's wonderful name. And the saints said hallelujah to the Father. You may be seated. We do bless him. Certainly give him thanks for all of his mighty manifestations in the midst of his people. As he gives us breath, life. And he calls the excellence of his Spirit to rise forth even from a clump of clay. He has caused the breath of life to dwell in these natural tabernacles. And it may bring forth his excellence. And that his name may be known throughout the earth. And if there's one thing that is important in this hour, that is the knowledge of our Father and whom he truly is. We find this vile, evil spirit today that is going forth in the land. For they have many gods. They serve all kinds of lords. They serve many deities. They serve many strange spirits. Yet they do not know the one that made all things for his pleasure. He made Shaitan. He made everything that is. And there's nothing that we see that was actually made of itself. For Yahweh made every tree. He made every animal. He made every fowl of the air. Yet it was for his glory and his purpose that his name may be exalted in the midst of the heavens. That man may know that he is the living one. He created Shaitan. He created Michael, Gabriel, the archangels. He created them all. Yet in this hour, man today, with that profound breath dwelling in his soul, he denies the power of Almighty Yahweh. We have these perverts today that call themselves, do not understand that one is a male or a female. Something is drastically wrong in their inward parts. There's a demented mind there. Yet they will tell you they call upon the name of God. They know their Lord. They have been washed. They're saved by the blood of Jesus. And they understand the power of Yahweh. Yet they walk with disdain against the Father in their perverted ways and sinful acts and deeds. It is only a microcosm of the things that have actually, or things that are transpiring, what we call the assembly. Those that say that they are set apart, that his people should have an apartness. They should not be like the world. They should not do the things like the world. They should be set apart as identifying with this world. That's why you cannot worship Yahweh. No, you can't. On the first day of the sun, day of the sun deity. He has set aside a day apart. We come into his house and to bless him and to worship him and to exalt him. I know that we can worship him every day, but he has set this day apart from all other days. That man shall rest on this day from all of his labor, and that he shall seek to enter into the place of rest with Almighty Yahweh. And that is the purpose of this hour. That we find today their place throughout the land. Their place when a man's mind is so seared, and his conscience cannot discern whether he is a male or female, something is wrong. When the conscience is so seared that they literally ordain these perverts and vile things, what they call the house of their God, I do believe it is in the house of their God. I do believe it's in the house of Epaphroditus, those that are filled with lust and their sex gods. I believe that. And they ordain these corrupt things and say that this is the work of Yahweh. I say to you, it is not, nor is his hands in it at all. We that have been begotten by the Spirit of Messiah, we must, in this hour, we must know the truth above all things. You cannot compromise that with any tradition. You cannot compromise that with any emotions or feelings. It must be based upon what the prophets have prophesied and the laws of Moshiach, because Messiah came not to destroy it, but to fulfill it, to make it known in our hearts that it is viable, it is livable, it is the commands of Yahweh, and we must obey that. Now there are plagues in the land because man, they have gone away from truth. They have gone away from truth. They have followed their own pernicious ways, the wicked, corrupt ways. That is what man is doing today. He's following his own pernicious, his hellish, his devilish, his wicked, his unrighteous ways. And he pursues any endeavor that his mind is able to conjure up. Has nothing to do with the direction of the laws, nor the commandments of Yahweh, but the things that his own corrupt mind can conjure, or he can conceive in his thoughts of his hearts. And that is what men are doing today. I want to read from Scripture. You tell me whether this prophecy has transpired or is it to come. The Scripture tells us in Malachi chapter 4. And I will also go to Revelation chapter 19. Same profound prophecy. Now I want you to answer this question. I will read verse 1 of Malachi chapter 4. It says, "For behold, the day cometh." Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. What a profound statement. He said that the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Have we seen that day? Have you seen that day? Has this prophecy, the foretelling of this great event, has it come to pass? Yet it is written in what we call the Old Testament. Yet this prophecy, we have not seen the earth burn like an oven. We have heard of the dispensation whereby it was diluted with water. Yahweh said, "I will not do that again. The next time I will send the fire." And he said that the earth shall burn as an oven. Now we understand in a spiritual realm, it is burning. Men burning in their flesh. Women burning in their flesh. They're uncontrollable. Their lust is consuming their flesh and their minds. We have not seen this day. Do we concur with that? That this day it shall burn like an oven. He said, "And all the proud, you that are arrogant, you that cannot be instructed in the commands of Yahweh, you that have your own sense of direction," he said, "yea, all the proud," not some, but all the proud, "yea, and all that do wickedly, Those that transgress against the laws of Yahweh, that have disdain for them, that despise the honor that is due honor to him with great fear. I believe that that word fear means more than simple reverence. He said, you shall be as stubble. You understand what stubble is? You call it kindling. That what is kindled in your stoves. It ignites the fire quickly, doesn't it? It is consumed rapidly. He said, those that are full of pride, you that do wickedly, you have disdain for Yahweh's laws and commandments. You will not adhere to what he commands us. You go following your own pernicious, wicked ways. He says that, and that day shall come, and it's going to burn them up. They're going to be consumed in that hour, saith Yahweh of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branches. You believe that that day has gone? Or do you believe that that is a foretelling or a prophecy that shall come in the day of Yahweh's Messiah's return? I believe that. That is what scriptures imply. This is a prophecy that implies of the great day of Almighty Yahweh. It is the day of Yahweh. This religious segment will call it the day of the Lord. But it's the day of Yahweh, the great wrath and the vengeance of Yahweh. It was foretold by Melchizedek because he moved with the same anointing that Yahar or Yokahara moved with as well. Now he said, this day shall come. It's going to burn the proud, the wicked. It's going to be a stubble. Do you believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Do you honestly believe that, that this day is coming? Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that in your hearts that this shall come to pass? He has spoken it. So it shall come to pass. And yet there's a safety for the people of Yahweh. I want to read verse 2. It says, but unto you that fear my name. But unto you that reverence and honor, extol my name. He spoke of an impending judgment that shall come upon the nations of the earth. There shall be no nation spared upon the earth, none. He said, but there is a remnant of people, and there's a house that is gathered in my name, and they shall fear my name. But those that will fear my name, that's what scripture says, those that will extol it to the highest, those that will honor those things that have been done in my name. For the law came in his name. The commandments came in his name. The works that were done in his name. In no other name. But unto you. I bless you always for that. Because it makes it personally. It brings it down to a personal level. He did not say but unto them. He brought it down to a personal level. But unto you. Unto you. That's what he said. But unto you. Yahweh is precise in his words. That is why he used a language that was not bound by religious and all kinds of false worshiping and all kinds of deities and gods. Like the Greek language. He brought forth a word in a language of the Syriac or the Aramaic, the Hebrew language, that it was precise. No other language as precise as that language. And even unto this day. But he said unto you. I thank him for that. Not unto them. There are many thems. But there's only one you. How many yous do you know of you? There's only one you. And he meant what he said. But unto you, he said. But unto you. That what? That fear my name. Shall the glory of the sun, of the brightness of my righteousness, and that is the eternal hope, shall arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. You that fear his name, There's a spiritual growth, and there's a growth. Because Messiah is going to come with healing in his wings. Why? For he is the righteous brightness of Yahweh. Even in the midst of flesh, he was the righteous brightness of Almighty Yahweh. Only those that fear the name of Yahweh are going to escape this judgment. You can reject that. You can't add any word you want to it. It is what Scripture says unto them, but unto you that fear his name. Only them shall there be a healing and a son of righteousness rising unto you that literally fear his name. And that is a tremendous reverence unto him, that his name is esteemed above all things in your life. It is extolled. It is built to a monument. There is a memorial of his name. Only to you that fear his name. It's either that the prophecy of Malachi is a perverted lie. He had no unction of the Spirit. Or either it is the profound truth of Yahweh. And if that is the profound prophecy of this great revelation that shall be revealed in this time, then I believe I will carry forth and do what verse 2 says. But unto you, he said unto you, and unto you, and unto you, that fear my name, shall the Son of righteousness, this righteous law, shall come forth with excellence from your soul, and it shall heal you, and you shall dwell safely without fear in the midst of cataclysmic mayhem, destruction, death, and the stench of death. And it's coming because there is a plague upon the land. For his name is forsaken. And these charlatans can say it is interchangeable, but it could never be. It cannot ever be. You cannot take the name Jesus and make it your sure or your way. It can never be that. It can never bring forth the same excellence of anointing. No more than my wife's name can bring forth the excellence of anointing to his heart like his wife's name. And it can't be. And so either this prophecy is for you and me, or something that we just simply discard. We reject that. Now there must be a witness of this profound truth. And it is in Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Yohanan says, and I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness, he doth judge and make war. We don't want to believe that he makes war with that nation of the wicked that has come against his authority, his government. He judged every nation. He judged every man. He judged every people. He always does. Yet he has set forth a truth that is undeniable. And his son came in the magnifical power of his name. He came in the Father's name, had no other name. Why? Because he knew that there must be a fear and a reverence of Yahweh. Man says, and these religious scholars will tell you that doesn't mean a fear of trembling. It does mean that. David talks about how he trembled before Yahweh, how even his body trembled. See, this nation and the people, they have lost that fear of awness. And reverence. Why? Because they have made him a God like unto them. They know what is evil and good from their perception. Has nothing to do with the perception developed by the law of Yahweh. Our understanding of what's good and evil must be developed by the law of what Yahweh has spoken unto us and written. That we know what transgresses against him. And once a man understand what transgresses against him, he will know the difference between good and evil. We do things of our own judgment and our own government that literally transgresses against Yahweh. We think it's right. We give credence to it. We say it's all right to do that. But it's not all right to do it. Not one bit at all. So he is going to make war. Messiah is going to make war. Yahweh is a man of war. He's going to make war. He's going to war against this wicked nation and the nations of the earth. You that trust gracious law, he's going to war against you. You've got to begin to govern your soul. You've got to begin to check out your corrupt mind. Your mind is corrupt because of your own lust, your own lasciviousness and concupiscence, your own sin. That's why you can't love. That's why you despise that which is good. That's why you have your father, the devil. You will accuse everyone because of your iniquity and your sins. So you accuse everyone else that they are not doing right. And they are against you. And no, it's your own sin. Your own wicked heart is judging you. This day is coming. And only those that fear his name, shall there be healing. Shall there be healing. And there is no healing today because you don't fear his name. There's no healing in your soul, no healing in your mind. Why? Because you don't fear his name. Oh, I believe this is the fulfillment of a prophecy. But I believe that the very word of Yahweh is a very present help. I believe it's a help now. I believe it's a very present help now. I believe the spirit of prophecy which come by Messiah. It is a present word. It is a help word now. It is not a tomorrow word. It is a present word. It is a today word. This is now. And those that fear his name, only those, shall Messiah arise with the healing of Yahweh in their souls. That's why we don't have healing. That's why you can allow corrupt things to dwell in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, without any fear of the consequences of that. Something is wrong. Somewhere we've missed it drastically. Somewhere we have not taken heed to those things. When your natural body begins to hurt, don't you take heed to that? You feel a little twitch or a little pain? It causes you to take heed, doesn't it? It causes you to begin to wander. You begin to speculate. And so you begin to do things very cautiously. You begin to govern yourself in a way that you don't exert yourself in this area. You don't do that because it may cause much more detriment. It may cause much more pain. So you're very careful and you're very cautious when those things come to pass in your natural body. We ought to be much more perceptive spiritually. Why? Because we have the spirit to discern and to judge and to know. So our perception spiritually ought to be much greater than it is naturally. We ought to be able to discern more spiritually than we are naturally. Scripture says that his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head he had many crowns, many diadems. Yet he had a name written that new man, no man knew but he himself. Yahweh's name is everlasting. And as I've said, I believe that Messiah is going to have a name. It's not going to be means. It's not going to mean that he is the savior of man. But I believe it's going to be something that glorifies Yahweh. And yet your heart is sung with a name that no man knew. No man could pronounce. No man had understanding of that. No more than they have understanding of your new name. You're going to receive a stone in the kingdom of Yahweh. And there shall be a name written that no man knoweth but you. And yet every name shall extol the power of Almighty Yahweh. It shall bring reverence unto him. There's nothing today in what we call this trash Christendom that glorifies the Father. It glorifies flesh. It extols flesh above everything. It wants flesh to be prosperous and to be rich, to have much, to be lazy, to be fat, to be slothful, to be indignant. That's all this religious culprit does. It does nothing to extol the power of Yahweh. He is just a bystander, or this God they serve is just a bystander to satisfy the pleasure of their God. Why? Because everyone has a different lust. I want a house that's bigger than yours. Well, I want mine bigger than yours. I want more cars than you have. You tell me this pleases your way? You tell me this is the spirit of Almighty Yahweh? It is the spirit of their God. It's not the spirit of Yahweh. The spirit of their God. And that's the truth. You want us to be rich in faith and knowledge. Because you're not going to take any of that to the grave with you. Naked you came into this world. And it's a sure thing you leave it out naked. Without any strength. And it behooves you all, as you always send forth warning. You begin to check your soul. And see if there's a fear of his name. Because only those that fear his name shall this power of his anointing arise in their souls, that there may be healing for them. He says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called Yahshua, the salvation of Yahweh. I know what it says. His name is called the Word of God. His name is called Yahshua, for he is the salvation of Almighty Yahweh. And that's what he is. He is the sure atonement for our sins that Yahweh has sent. And he did that to show us, as Messiah reverenced the Father, had fear of his name, because everything he did in the Father's name. He did not try to bestow any confidence upon him in his own ability. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and you are the ones that say you know him. He did all things to please the Father. He pleased not himself, but he pleased the Father's saints. And we can't please ourselves. We must please him. The scripture says, and the armies which were in heaven, they followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite some nations. He's going to smite the nations. And he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. And he shall treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and of the wrath of Almighty Yahweh. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. He is the King of kings, and he is the ruler of all rulers. He's coming in the fierceness, the indignation, and the wrath of Yahweh upon all nations. But your hope is that you fear his name. There's a reverence unto his name. And because there is, even in this hour, there are plagues in the land. There are plagues in the land. And they're consuming the houses and the homes today. It is consuming, the parents are consuming their children. The children are consuming their parents. And the scripture tells us why these things are being. And it gives us prophecy of these things. And they are present today. They sell them to the powers of darkness in this world. And their minds are controlled. Their minds are being controlled and manipulated by the world, by the things of the world, by what the world offers. And it offers the same thing every single day. Nothing new. And yet he offers us a fresh bread of life every day. There's a well that we drink from, a fountain. It's not a contaminated fountain either. His mercies are renewed every day. His love kindness are renewed every day. And that doesn't impress the world at all. But yet a sales paper? How do I get impressed with that? And no impression of his truth to study? To read the truth? Something is drastically wrong in your soul, man. You are sick in your mind, woman. You get excited more about a sales paper? You get excited about the Sunday's paper? You want to look at the sale ads? What are they selling? Trinkets and toys and nothing at all. Consume your mind with lust. Are you trying to cause or trying to say someone else is the cause of your evil ways? It is your own lust for wicked ways that's the cause of your evil ways. It's your own sinful corrupt mind that trespass the laws and the commandments of Yahweh are the reason of the things that are taking place in you, for they flow out of your heart. And I fall out of someone else's heart. Your issues are coming from your heart. You got issues because you're corrupt. And you're wicked. So Messiah is going to come. He has come. He is in the house today. For his Father's name. His name is in his house. And so he's in the midst of his house. And you that fear his name, he says, I'm coming with healing. And the sword, and the glory of his righteousness in flesh, that no man can deny. Not the historians, not the theologians, not the intellectuals, can nobody deny that he was. And now he's going to become, he is, and he should be, he is us, and he is to come as well, to the faithful, those that fear his name. He is to come. at the prophecies of this hour and this time that we are in. So here it is, men that were separated by some 600 years, yet one prophesied by the same anointing, and they didn't speak anything differently. They spoke the same truth. By the unction of His Spirit, that was a mighty fire of His burning in their souls. Yokohama was there on the Isle of Patmos on that day for one thing, and that was for the revelation of Messiah, and that is the fullness of His power to be revealed. We have seen the limitations of the works that were finished upon the earth here. That's what we saw of Almighty Yahweh. The works that were finished upon the earth. Because Messiah says they're all finished. There's only one other thing that I will come again. And this time when I come, it's not like the first time. It's going to be totally different. Because man has rejected His name and His truth, we're filled with plagues today. The minds of men are given over unto bestiality. I can't even describe that as bestiality, because it's not bestiality. It's beyond the norms. Your young sons and daughters are given over unto this power that delude their minds. The television, the rap music, these perversions from the darkness of hell that rob them of any sense or any emotions at all. This is a generation that cares about no one. It's a generation that has no feel. It's a generation that has no emotions at all. And it's only one thing that it's consumed with. It's me, myself. It's I and what I desire. Has nothing to do with the perfect plan of Yahweh. And they groom them. And they shape their minds to do just that. The mind of Yahweh is not of such. It loves its neighbor as it loves itself. It has a heart for those that Yahweh has brought in the house. So it's either the prophecy is wrong or it's true. Those that fear my name, shall there be a righteous healing. It shall come down for you. Only those, but unto you. He made it so personal, brother. He said, but unto you. You that fear my name. Not wife, not son, not mother, not daughter, but unto you. Unto you that fear my name. Shall a confirmation there. Shall the Son of righteousness rise with the healing power of Yahweh. What? Our hope. To know that we have feared His name. And there's a great reward for us. But unto those that will not fear His name, there's plagues. And the plague shall be. I want to show you one of the plagues. The scripture says in Deuteronomy. I want to begin reading in Deuteronomy. Out of the Torah. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 28. We will say, well, that was for them. Every word of Yahweh is pure. All these things are our examples. They're given unto us that we should not live the same way that they live. Yahweh gave them the condition of blessings in this chapter, and He also gives them the condition which will bring a tremendous calamity upon the land. And so He shows us the conditions of His blessings. What? You that fear His name shall healing arise. That's your blessing. In this hour and time, that the only thing you're going to have is His name. It's not going to be your finance. It's not going to be your wealth. It's not going to be your prestigiousness, your character, your name. It has no power at all. It's only unto those that fear His name. He's going to have reverence unto His name. We have denied it all these last, this nation, America, the last 200 plus years. It has not glorified or honored the name of Yahweh. Every kind of deity that is established in this nation. He said, I'm going to have a people that's going to fear my name. Now He tells us, listen to me, these are the conditions of your blessings and your curses. I want to show you the conditions of your curse when you don't fear His name. The scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I want to begin at verse 47. He says, because thou servest not Yahweh thy Father with joyfulness, Did I read that the way it is implied there?
Yeah.
Come on, I want you to look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at their eyes. The useless of joyfulness. Come on, look at your neighbor. He said, because you haven't served me with joyfulness. You're ashamed to even do that. Because you know you don't have it. That's why you're ashamed to do it. For a sinful and a wicked nation of people. Because the word identifies your corrupt ways. Your vile, evil, sadistic mind of darkness. It's been shaped by you. Your own iniquities have shaped your mind. Yet you want to blame someone else. Fool. Spirit of darkness. Shaitan is the one that accused brethren and sisters. He said, because thou servest not Yahweh thy Father with joyfulness. Yet you make a joyful noise. You esteem him highly. When you began to truly understand love and the beauty of it, it's a very beautiful thing, it's a pleasant thing. And most of you don't understand that. You don't understand love. That's why your espousal love is not pure. I think about even my life, even now. Even the beauty of my wife is not something of a physical beauty. There's something that is much more enriched than that. My expression unto her is much more dear than what it was. It reaches beyond the limitations of flesh. And there's an aura there that excites the inward parts of my soul. Not just the physical man. There's something there that I delight in more than anything. Just the spirit of the presence. Just the spirit in the mission, in the house. I delight in that above all things. Without conversation. It creates this enormous joyfulness, a gladness of my soul, that the words are that they are words that are simply pure words. You say you have not served Yahweh with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. I look at this house, and there your hearts are wicked, they're unclean, there's no gladness, not at all. We see what Scripture says. We'll see whether you have it or you don't have it. We'll see whether he makes you naked today and show you the vileness of your stinking flesh. It stinks. You know, a man without clothes on when he plays basketball or something, he perspires and he smells worse than what he would if he had on his shirt. Because there's an absorption there of the material that absorbs the perspiration. But if a man plays just in his bare body skin, he stinks. And so we need to clothe ourselves with the clothes of righteousness. That the stench down in our inward parts, the stench of it, is a vile odor that has gone up into to the nose of Yahweh Shabaoth, the one that fights the armies of the world. You see, you haven't served him that way. For the abundance of all things, he's given you life, health, strength. He blessed your spouse, your children. You're not even glad. This is a foolish generation. This is a corrupt generation. You look at your little babies and he caused breath, animation in their little bodies. You can sense the strength in them. Believe me, my friend, if you would not bless him now, you would not bless him for $1 million. For a caboodle of youngins, for a house big as this whole place, you would not do that. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, which Yahweh shall send against thee. He said, in hunger and in thirst. There's going to be a famine, and it's already a famine. And it's not for the eating of bread, because this nation is filled with bread houses. They have it all you can eat, and they eat, and they stuff themselves, and they're still not full. They gorge themselves and they still are not full. They sell the biggest fries, the biggest this, and they are still not full. They sell the large size, the super size, and they are still not full. He says, not for the eating of bread. It's going to be one for the hearing of the word of Yahweh.
And his name shall be exalted and extolled in the midst of a dying wicked nation. He said, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. Is this your life? He said, he's going to put a yoke. And Messiah said, he come to give us a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. And because we will not serve him with joyness and gladness of heart, he's going to put a yoke on you. That's why some of y'all look like yoke fools around here. And I use that expression. As Paul said to the Galatians, you foolish folks, who have bewitched you? I'm not yoked. And I'm not bound. For whom Messiah has made free, he's free. And indeed he's free. He said, I shall bring a nation against thee from far. And the nations of the heavens that are above these comics, they're coming down. The scripture says, those Moloch that sin against Yahweh, he cast them out into outer darkness in chains of bondage, reserved until the day of judgment. And now he's loosing them. He's calling those kings from the nations afar, and that's why the minds of the people today, they act erratic. There's no sensitivity at all. But because they have no sensitivity to the rule and the law of Yahweh. And so you have no sensitivity to what he says today. Truth, Yahweh. Truth. He said, I'm going to send them from afar, from the ends of the earth, as a swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And these powers of darkness, the way they talk today, you don't understand it. You can't understand their language on television. You can't understand their rapping and that trash they call Christian rap. It's an abomination. It is the epitome of darkness. They conjure up every kind of foul spirit through divination, through sorcery, through necromancing. That's why they shake their buttocks just like the ones dancing on Fat Daddy Jack. It's a foul, insidious thing. The works of hell. The works of darkness. I will show you what they're going to do from Scripture. You see what Scripture says. A nation of fierce countenance. The countenance of fierce today. Look at your own countenance. Husbands can look at their wives' countenance. They are fierce today. Husbands are fierce at countenance. It ought to be pleasant and sweet. A man that finds a wife, he finds a good thing. He's blessed with your wife. So his countenance ought to be sweet. Not this corrupt thing that we call our countenance. It's wicked. He said, we shall not regard the person of the old. They have no regard for those that have the wisdom of Yahweh. They have no regard for those that have an experience. They say, let her be damned. Let her and her ancient ways be destroyed. Nor show favor to the young. He says that he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle. They're mad cow diseases. All kinds of diseases on the cattle today. Like never before on the face of the earth. You had old cow, you put it out the pasture, and it raised itself. It gave milk abundantly. 2 or 3 years. And now they have tampered with the law of Yahweh. For their own profits. For their own greed and their own lust. You could have a heifer that will give milk for years. Not just 6 months until she become assimilated again. And all they're tampering with the law of Yahweh. Just like this wicked thing is doing, Satan is doing. He's changing time. He's done that with the sharp altar. He's done that with the law of Yahweh. They say that what the papal says, it is over what Scripture says. Lies. And most of the things we know today has come by the order of that Jezebel. She's trained the theologians and all. At the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall leave thee neither either corn, wine, or oil. My, the essentials. Or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. This is the approach that you're always going to take. Because you don't fear his name. I will show you the scripture. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down. Your high haughty looks, your pride, your arrogance, you lifting up your nose. Yahweh says he's going to besiege you in the midst of your pride. Pride going before fall and hold tightness before one is destroyed. Truth. Wherein thou trust, you trust in your ability, your strength, your pride. You trust in your arm of flesh. He said it's coming down throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which Yahweh thy Father hath given thee. He's given us land. He's given us a gate to enter in. We ought to enter into the gate of Yahweh, to his house, with thanksgivings and praises in our hearts. We enter into his gates dysfunctional. Our minds are mad with sin and corruption. Send the anointed man Yahweh. Send him from afar. Let him stand before the house. He said, I want to tell you something in verse 53. He's talking to you. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. Do you hear that? He's going to eat the flesh of thy what? Of thy sons. Of what? The flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which Yahweh thy Father hath given thee. He said, in the siege and in the straitness wherein thy enemies shall distress you. That's a sick mind. That's a distress. And the scripture talks about distress and perplexity of nation. He said, when your distress or your calamity shall come upon you, because you were not of my reproof. He said, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. And this is what your distress is going to do to you. You're going to consume your daughters and your son. There will be no sense of love generated from your heart. There will be no touch of love. And that's many parents today. They have no touch of love. They have no sense of love. There's no power of love. There's no emotion of love. There's no feeling of love. They allow the world and the things of their own mind to consume their sons and their daughters. And to eat them up today. I don't care if any of you never loved me. Makes no difference. For he loves me. And it is his word like fire in this soul. It wasn't part about you. It didn't come by mama. And it sure didn't come by your prayers either. It came by obedience. And a desire above all things. What pleases you, Father? I will do that. He said, you're going to eat the flesh of your own body. Your own fruit. That's what you're going to do. You're going to eat your own fruit because of the distress. Distress. Because you were none of his counsel. When you don't obey Yahweh, when you don't receive his counsel, your pride, your strong wall of pride stands up. You don't want nobody to tell you nothing. Oh, that's the truth. Your high power of your pride is expressed in your arrogance, your look of disdain. He said, you're going to fall. You're going to fall down. He said, you're going to eat your babies, your sons, and you're going to eat your daughters. They're going to come from you, you're going to eat them. You're going to sell them like meat to the market because of your own distress. And they're doing it today. It's one thing about love that counsels, it instructs, and it shows. That's what love does. It's a strong counselor. It's a governing power. It governs. The sacred mindset. You understand the reason we're in the condition we're in because you're so carnally minded. I'm so fleshly concerned. You're not concerned about the spiritual things. You're concerned about those things that are totally carnal and fleshly. You spend 99.9% of your time on that, and the other 1% of your time you spend sleeping. It's a slothful generation. You know what scripture says about a slothful man? As the door turneth on its hinges, so doth a slothful man in the bed. You find a man that loves the bed is a slothful pig. And all he wants to do is just lock the door, turns. Hallelujah. Scripture says it. No time for your way. No time to sleep. No time to eat the word. But time to eat. No meditation is thought on the word. But time to think about what you want to eat. Something is wrong. In your soul. Drastically wrong. In the inward parts. That is the truth. So help me your way. That is the truth. Verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you. Well, how do you know the man that is tender among you? There must be a way to identify the tender man. It has to be. We ought to be able to look among ourselves and find the tender man. The tender woman. The one can't take very much. The one get offended so easily. The one is silent with the emotion, the tender. You don't have to love me. That's all right. I will preach this until you always brings me home. And I just believe for right now, I think he's going to leave me around just a little longer. I don't know how much longer. I was thinking today, I said 10 more years. That's not far around. Be an old man. It's not far. But I've come this far. By faith. Even though my faith was faked, I still come this far. Leaning on him. He says, so that the man that is tender among you, you better identify the tender men. And very delicate, so easy to be hurt. So soft, you better identify him. You better look for men like Stephen with a reputation full of the Ruah, full of wisdom, that they will resist every power of hell. Do you hear that? So the man that is tender and delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother. When you find a tender man, his eyes are evil toward his brother. Because he doesn't possess the strength of his brother. He has no power like his brother. He doesn't have the mental strength or the spiritual strength. He doesn't have the physical strength. Oh, you might as well say hallelujah. If I'm touching you, I'm just touching you. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because what Yahweh is doing for me today. So your eyes will be even toward your brothers and your sisters because you're delicate, you're tender, you're emotional. And toward the wife of thy bosom. You'll be even toward even your spouse. Even the seed that she's brought forth. You will be evil. That's the truth. And toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Everything that Yahweh has done, everything that he has established, you will be evil toward that. So you will accuse them. You will lie against it. You haven't found yourself doing that? Because you're tender and you're delicate. I believe Yahweh wants us to have the same mind. I was speaking the other day, and I was talking with Brother Dell. And of course, as I explained the scenario to him, he said the very same thing that I said. I said, that's the way I said it. Don't tell me we can't have the same mind. Because we can. I was talking to Brother Jermaine the other day. I said, why are you not doing that? Because he began to quote scripture to me. He said, scripture says this. Do I defy scripture? Or obey my feelings or emotions? Well, we obey scripture.